The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
God is the expert at bringing something out of nothing. And so even out of the nothing of our unbelief, His Word can bring forth faith itself.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hebrews.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. It was one of those very scary passages last time that reminded the hearers of the huge danger of impenitence, of sinning willfully, intentionally, and with impunity, saying to God, I know this doesn't please you, and I just don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. All that awaits that way of living is the fearful expectation of fiery judgment. He reminded his hearers how strict it was under Moses and asked them to ponder the consequences then of trampling the Son of God underfoot, profaning His blood, outraging the Spirit of grace. And after reminding them of this fearful judgment of falling into the hands of the living God that awaits impenitence, he shifted his tone. And he reminded them of their own faithfulness in the face of hard persecution and confiscation of property and slander. They'd stood steadfast through all that. If they were getting weary with it all, he urged them, hang in there. God won't forget your suffering. And their confidence has a great reward. He turned to Habakkuk, and he reminded them that the coming one was coming soon, and that until he appears, they just have to live by faith. And he comforted them with the words, we are not of those who shrink back from him, but of those who have faith. But what is faith? How does that work? And that sets up the most famous part of his discourse, the so-called roll call of faith. Picking up then in chapter 11 at the first verse. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11, 1-6. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to all your children, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig in? Let's do this. Verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In the Greek, this is a very curious verse. Faith is the, literally, hypostasis of the things hoped for. Now, that's the word we usually use in the church to describe the persons of the Trinity, three hypostases. And by it, we mean, well, as the Augsburg Confession of 1530 put it so very well, that which subsists in itself. So I'm not entirely sure why it got translated as assurance here in the English Standard Version. The original King James Version had substance with a note or ground. I really like how Dr. Kleinick, in his commentary on Hebrews, suggests that we translate it. He says, faith is the basis of the things hoped for. Basis, grounding, substance. I think that tends to hit the original better here than assurance, for what it's worth. And again, how to translate the word the ESV renders conviction. Dr. Kleinick again, while this noun, which occurs only here in the New Testament, may be understood as the conviction that comes from faith in God's word, its primary sense here is that faith in God's word provides the evidence of what is unseen, its guarantee and proof. So he renders the second part with the evidence of things not seen, which is, by the way, how the King James put it. So faith is the basis of what we hope for. Faith is the evidence of what we cannot see but learn of from God's word. So it is not understanding that opens the door to faith. It is faith in God's word that opens the door to understanding. And remember, the hoped for and the things unseen are Christ's current and present reign at the right hand of the Father on his throne and his glorious return for judgment and salvation for his people, bringing them into a visible participation in the kingdom through resurrection of their bodies and the enjoyment of beatific vision. They shall see God. Moving on. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By it, by faith. This is the point that St. Clement of Rome, writing just after the time of the apostles, makes in his first letter to the Corinthians. Quote, similarly, we also, who by his will have been called in Christ Jesus, are not justified by ourselves, or our own wisdom, or understanding, or godliness, nor by such deeds as we've done in holiness of heart, but by that faith through which alone Almighty God has justified all men since the beginning of time. Paragraph 32. So the way of justification by faith, of God commending his people because they trust in his promise, that's actually the long history of the church from the beginning. And he's about to show that. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Note the order, which is just what I referenced above. Faith leads to understanding, not vice versa. The Septuagint of Isaiah 7, verse 9 expresses this same thought. If ye believe not, neither will ye at all understand. So by faith, we come to understand that the word of God itself declares that the word of God, is that a reference to Christ or to his speaking, that that's what created everything that you can see. What was made did not arise from things that were visible. Already, the Greek philosophers had posited the possibility of the eternity of matter. But the Bible slams shut that door. The universe has an origin, and its origin is the speaking of God. Let there be. While it does not make it explicit, this passage does imply the doctrine of creation ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. The psalmist delighted in this when he sang, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. God is the expert at bringing something out of nothing. And so even out of the nothing of our unbelief, his word can bring forth faith itself. Faith comes from hearing, St. Paul would say, and hearing by the word of Christ. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Well, if you've ever had joy of St. Augustine's great City of God, you see how in that account of Cain and Abel, he sees the fountainhead of the long conflict between what he calls the city of man and the city of God, between the divine worship, which God commends, which is faith in his promise, and the brash demand of idolatry, which insists that God just ought to accept whatever we think is fitting. And the persecution that subsequently befalls the city of God as the city of man in rage seeks to extinguish it. Now, while Hebrews is clear that Abel's offering was more acceptable than Cain's, and that it was offered in faith, it suggests that Abel knew, and Cain should have known, teaching from their father maybe, that, well, as the speaker earlier had taught, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And what does it mean that Abel's blood still speaks? God told Cain that he heard his brother's blood crying out to him from the ground. I suspect that speaking he's referring to here is of a piece with what you hear, with the martyrs calling together from underneath the altar in Revelation 6, "How long, O Lord, how long before you avenge our blood?" The blood of the martyrs of God across the ages, it calls and speaks to God for redress, and it will have it. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. This is Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24, and this Enoch, he is a mysterious figure. He is the father of Methuselah, who in turn was the grandfather of Noah. What the Hebrew of Genesis says at that point is that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But never forget, the speaker of Hebrews is using the Greek translation, the Septuagint, which reads, "And Enoch was well-pleasing to God, and he was not found, because God translated him." That's where he got that Enoch was commended as having pleased God. So we note here that even though it is generally true that it is appointed unto man once to die, that God has allowed these certain exceptions, not just Enoch, but also Elijah. But the big question is, how did Enoch please God? Listen. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. No faith, no pleasing God. And so, if pleasing to God, then faith. Hence, by faith, Enoch was taken up. This passage is crucial when you wish to understand, for example, the mysterious words of Jesus about the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. I mean, think about it. How is it possible that the sheep are only commended for their works, as though they have no sins, while the goats are damned for their failure to do the works commanded, as though they'd never done a good thing in their lives? The key is that without faith, nothing we do pleases God. Faith in his word, faith in his promise. And when we have faith in his promise, then we have the covenant blood that covers our sins. Here's how St. John Chrysostom, our faithful teacher from Antioch and later Constantinople in the 4th century and 5th century, taught this. How was it by faith that Enoch was taken up? Because his pleasing God was the cause of his being taken up, and faith the cause of his pleasing God. For if he had not known that he would receive a reward, how would he have pleased God? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. How? If a person believes that there is a God and a retribution, that person will have a reward. And one final thought from the great Pope Saint Leo, teaching in the middle of the 5th century. Carry out the Lord's commands in faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith, nothing is holy, nothing is pure, nothing is alive, for the just lives by faith. As righteousness is gained by faith, so too, by a true faith, eternal life is gained. Well, we're out of time for today, people loved by God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.